Think you know how to party? Well, science does. In fact, there are nerds out there that spend their whole lives researching the ins and outs of sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
But don't take this nerd's word for it. In the Party Science Podcast, we break down the research behind a good time and a great time.
I'm Dr. Joel Rindelob, a real-life scientific researcher.
And I'm comedian Courtney Dawson, a real-life party girl.
And together, we talk to world experts in psychedelics.
Look at topics like the physiology of squirting and show you how science parties harder than you thought possible.
Stay tuned every Wednesday for a new episode scientifically proven to rock your dome.
This is a Frank podcast.
This week's guest on Honest to Who. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yep, Tim just got the OnlyFans person, but no. This is Alisa Wilson. She is an OnlyFans creator and a content genius when it comes to marketing. She's gone through the wars, and I'm ready to document all this with her. Stories on top of stories around everything from OnlyFans to creating her own entrepreneurship. It's Alisa Wilson here on Honest to Who.
Thank you so much for coming in.
You're so welcome. I'm excited. I'm probably more excited than you.
I know. You text me at 7 o'clock this morning like, this is going to be amazing.
I was awake at 4 a.m. I was that excited.
That's your thing, though. You are an early riser, correct?
Yeah, it's a mental illness. I'd like to say it's a habit. My body, no matter what time I go to sleep, wake up at like between 4 and 4:30 a.m. and just like instantly wide awake. Wow. Best ideas come in the morning.
And go, what time do you go to sleep? 10, 11?
Nah, like 8.
Okay. Oh,
nah, between 8:30 and 9, but last night I pushed the boat out. Sometimes yeah, it's, you know, moved to Auckland, got to experience the things. And
okay, so Alisa, like, how can I put, how do you describe yourself for the people that don't know you? Like, it's easy for me to go, this is such and such, and she does A, B, C, or yeah. He does, this is their job. You have so many different jobs.
I have my fingers in a lot of pies.
So, yeah. See, this is what... Before we go into this, before you go into it as well, I just want to premise and just say, hey, if my missus is watching,
sorry,
I didn't know that. But anyway, what is it? What roles do you, what hats do you put on?
So I think majority of people that come across my social media either fall into the category of, I obviously, OnlyFans is my main source of income and has been for the last couple of years, but that's provided me the opportunity and the platform to branch out into more like comedic entertainment and humor that is very accepted, but it's the stuff that people don't want to joke about, where yeah. I'm just like, oh, fuck, well, I'm naked on the internet, so might as well crack a joke about X, Y, Z and everything else.
Yeah.
So thankfully, that stuff has been received really, really well, especially on TikTok. Like the TikTok community has been fantastic for growing socials and stuff. And then along with that, I'm trying to, you know, OnlyFans isn't a forever thing.
Yeah.
So have spent the last year building up another business that I've just launched, which is SheFresh, which is a feminine intimate cleanser.
Yeah.
So I've just launched that. And then we'll just take whatever opportunity comes to do podcasts and interviews and content. Like, that's my jam. Just anything that enables me to be creative and get those juices flowing and meet the right people, do this kind of stuff.
Were you always like creative as a kid growing up? Was that your thing?
I was such a diva. We've got these family home movies, and my poor sister, we would have videos of dad filming us and we'd do like shows for the family.
Okay.
And she'd be singing in front of the camera. I come like push her out of the way because I had to have the limelight. And it's like, okay. Oh no, look at me. I'd like to say things have changed, but
still making movies.
Yes. Just more adult movies.
Just not the same. There's adults in those movies, but they're different than adult movies.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It would be weird if there was child.
Yeah. Now we're fucking starting the podcast from scratch.
Sorry,
again.
It's only been 5 minutes.
We're going to cut that
I'm
part
so
out.
I'm so sorry, Tim. You're going to get to the end of this and be like, I can't use any of this.
You know me. We're using every part of this shit. Gosh. So like before that, and this is the really interesting part of your journey that I respect a lot, is that you were in the, like, you were in the parole, you're working in the prisons, correct?
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, I was a corrections officer.
Because that's when I first kind of found you.
Yeah.
Was that you were still doing that. You weren't doing the OnlyFans stuff, but you were doing that and you're making funny content as well.
Yep.
And yeah, so like, what did you learn as a person that you use those skills today from when you were working and with some of the hardest adults in the world, in New Zealand?
Yeah. The biggest thing for me was realizing that some of them aren't actually the hardest adults. It's there's so much smoke and mirrors and a facade, and everything comes down to the way that you treat people and the way that you interact with people. Mm. I developed such a thick skin for the 5 years that I worked there because every single day, being like a 22-year-old female going working in an all-men's prison, the things that you see and the things that get said to you, like the first 6 months, I was like, what the fuck have I done? Like, is this my life now? But it taught me so much resilience. And I think that's helped so much, especially with like, you know, you get so much hate online, especially when it comes to OnlyFans and just any kind of content in general, when you put yourself out there, learning to just laugh those things off and just be nice to everybody. Like, you know, I would fall into the trap of, in the past, getting caught up on gossip or being really toxic or, you know, like sometimes just stirring the pot a little bit. And now I can't think of anything worse. Like, drama gives me the ick just because I'm like, I just want to be so far removed from that. There's no point. Everyone's got shit going on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because, you know, within that environment comes a lot of, like, you take on a lot quite. You know, did you do that while you were working in?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, I feel sorry for that person, or this person said that to me. You just take it on in and it sticks, you know?
100%. It was really interesting for me also being a young female. I got pulled aside quite a lot by management and staff because there was this stigma attached to me that it's called getting got, you know, when officers sleep with the guards or officers sleep with the inmates or, you know, they get caught bringing contraband. And it was like, I was this walking red flag where I would never do any of that. But the amount of times I'd get pulled aside and questioned and, you know, like highlighted all of the values and, you know, integrity, that stuff probably weighed the most on me because I'm like, that's like an insult on my character, regardless if I'm a 22-year-old female or a 56-year-old female. Like, you're looking at me. And I can understand it because, you know, what 22-year-old female goes and works in an all-male prison? But yeah, it weighs really heavily. And I gained so much weight as well, like the constant shift work and, you know, sometimes you're in some really scary situations.
Yeah.
You don't get taught how to deal with that. And sometimes shit happens, gets swept under the rug and you're just kind of left to fend for yourself. So I was, yeah.
When you were working in the prisons, were you at like a dinner party and someone was like, oh man, my day at work, so funny. And you're like, fuck, if I could tell you some of the shit I had to go through.
Oh yeah.
you think old Tom from accounts is fucking bad.
Like, I had a mongrel mom ever squishing his dick up to a window.
I've seen that shit. Okay.
I've seen it all. Yeah.
And you're telling me that Tom from accounts is fucking telling me?
Oh my God, I'm so sorry you didn't make your sales targets for the week. Like,
oh, stressful situations. I've had someone fucking try to grab me, motherfucker.
I know. Yeah. It was honestly so wild. It feels like so long ago. And it's buzzy because sometimes I'll get TikTok comments from guys that knew me when they were inside.
Yeah.
And then sometimes ex-officers subscribing to OnlyFans and being like, oh, it's blah, blah, blah.
Remember me. Like, do they hit you up like that? Like,
yeah. Hey, fuck, remember? You have a wife.
I used to work. Oh, fuck. Hey, that's what you need to do. Isn't your wife a Sharon?
Yeah, I know your wife. She follows me on too.
She's following me on. She's got a subscription. You could just borrow hers. Oh, fucking hell. But like, how is that when somebody that you have seen, not just in the, not a prisoner, but even that, like someone that you know in real life, like they're on there.
Yeah.
How does that feel? Like, have you had many of those?
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot more than what I know. Because it's not often you'll get somebody admitting to who they really are.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time they're like incognito names and, you know, there's the taboo around it and it's still such a stigma. But occasionally I get people messaging me. It becomes really awkward when they have partners and I know them. And then that's where I draw the line because I'm just like, no, that, you know, it's too interpersonal.
Do you make that conversation happen or do you just cut it?
I'll kind of state the boundary.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And say that, you know, that's somewhat uncomfortable. Mm. Yeah. Which is why I think people remain anonymous.
So that transition between being a prison officer to going to doing OnlyFans, mm-hmm. which you had now, that was a bit rocky too, right?
Was it what?
I was following, man. I was like, wow. Could you like walk us through that?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So it all started. It was the very first podcast that I did was with Bez the Barber. Who's
the fucking man, by the way?
Firesh Moulay.
Sorry, I had to.
No, I love him. He was like the snowball for all of this. So I sat down with him and we had a chat. It was during the COVID period and I was talking about female parts.
Yep.
And shit that happens.
Mix. She was talking about mix everyone.
Mix. Slim thick mix to there be we precise.
Go. Continue.
That got back to the staff that I was working with and they escalated it. I think they took it to Intel. And so I wasn't aware, but there was this investigation going on. They were looking at all of my social medias and trying to sting me. They couldn't really find anything to cling on to say, okay, you're within breach of your contract because everything that I was doing, I wasn't naming people, places, all of that stuff. But it caused so much distress that I ended up going to the union and saying to them, I feel like I'm being somewhat targeted here. So they got involved and ended up taking like a settlement, was able to leave and, you know, had like a settlement that I ended up leaving with,
but
not enough to get me through the foreseeable future. So I was like, oh, well, fuck, what am I going to do now?
And you fucking thought about it and you did it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the goal was always...
Was it a joke first? Like, because you were like, fuck, I'm going to fucking do it.
Yep. I joked about it for a solid 2 years. I was, in my mind, I was always like, I know I could do it.
Mm.
Like 100%. Because I don't have any shame when it comes to that stuff. I'm like, you know what? It's everybody watches porn, you know? Like if I can find a way to monetize and live the life that I want, not because I want to be a porn star, but because it's helping me achieve the things that I want to achieve for the future, then fuck, I might as well just give it a go.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, I was like, hyping it up on socials. If I get to 5,000 followers on Instagram, I'm going to drop the link in the bio. Took me like a week and then dropped it and then... Now it's like 50K following. It's just wild how quickly everything snowballs, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it came like, you know, you're just kind of like, hey man, I'll just give it a go. And then all of a sudden just fucking ka-ching. Oh, I don't want to say ka-ching, but you know what I'm saying? Like people just kept subscribing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck.
I didn't realize though the amount of hard work that goes into it. Like it's probably one of the most difficult jobs. And I think like content creation in general, people think that it's so easy to just jump on camera, be animated, be funny for 30 seconds, and then you post it and that's it.
Yeah, nah.
Nah.
It's not even fucking close. You'd know,
like the thought, you're constantly kept awake with content ideas.
Yep.
How am I going to execute this? Scripting. Post something and it flops. Oh, I'm a fucking failure, you know?
Fuck. Oh, I've only got, This, because I want to talk to you about heaps of other things, but the vanity metrics of things like, look how many followers I got. Look how many that. It's like, it's really a strange cultural thing. Mm-hmm. Like the online culture of having X amount of followers or X amount of views.
Yep.
How does that go together with say like the OnlyFans things, the converting it from how many followers you have to how many people are willing to pay for your content?
Yeah. It's a very, very narrow funnel.
Mm.
It's all dependent on what goes viral in what niche, because something could get, I did a reel and it got, I think it got like 7.5 million views on Instagram and it was to do with inserting thrush cream after a situationship. That doesn't allude to anything that I do for work. People see the numbers of that and they go, oh my God, you must have made hundreds of thousands. I'm like, I got maybe like 20 subscribers out of that, you know? it's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
So it's being really specific with the content, but then also working in the confines of you can't post directly what it is that you do.
Yeah.
So you have to be really clever about how you market yourself.
Which is like, what has been taken down of yours that you're like, fuck, what? That shouldn't have been taken down.
Oh, celebrities are out here posting full on nipples on Instagram. And I'm like, show like the slightest little bit of bum cheek. Nah, taken down.
The bum cheek?
Yeah.
So bum cheeks and nose?
Bum cheeks and nose. Even captions. I think there was a caption on one of my photos and it said like, your future ex-wives say hi. And it was me and three other girls. We were like fully clothed.
Okay.
Taken down. You start to get targeted and shadow bans, all of that stuff. It just comes with the territory.
Mm.
But one of my friends who has been doing this a lot longer than me said that you have to just accept that that shit is going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't put all of your eggs in one basket. Have a separate account that you post your reels on. Have your personal account. Have a backup account. So automatically you've got like five different social medias on the go and people are like, oh, still such an easy job. I'm like, no, it's really draining sometimes.
What is the biggest misconception and that people think around OnlyFans models or like is it, content creators on OnlyFans? What is the biggest thing that you're like, you think that this is all we do? And I get like just posting content and there's probably people that are very lazy with this shit.
Oh yeah.
But they don't reach the heights that, say, you and other people have reached.
Yeah, absolutely not. I think there's the misconception that we're all really dumb. Like, that's just a stigma that's been associated with the industry for so long. And I think that they probably also think we just meet up and have, like, this big orgy, and then we all get drunk and have a great time and high five and go home.
And just put the GoPro up and then we're good.
Strap the GoPro to your head and do what you're gonna do.
give the GoPro to Gary. Give it to Gary. He'll fucking
Gary standing in the background. Yeah, like, yeah,
Gary's the next door neighbor. Nah.
There's on, we call them like collaboration days. So whoever we decide to work with, I work purely only with girls, just because that's what's comfortable for me. I could probably monetize a lot more if I branched out, but for the time being, you know, that's all I'm comfortable with. We'll get together and say you're working together for like 4 hours. 3 hours of that is doing the social media side of things where it's the PG content.
Yeah.
Because you can make the most amazing video, but if you've got no marketing to advertise it in a PG way, nobody's going to see it.
You've got to be creative with that shit too.
Oh yeah,
right?
So creative.
That's probably where a lot of the mind power goes. It's like, how the fuck are we going to make people, you know, funnel people towards where we need to get
100%.
To?
100%. And a lot of the stuff that you see that's posted from the same people in the industry, a lot of it is recycled. And because you take inspiration from the huge names in the States that are doing it. And there's this one, Rebecca Miller, who I follow, who is hilarious. Like the way that she does her content, I take so much inspiration from her because I'm like, okay, you're funny and you're sexy. And that's like such a deadly combo. So picking up trending audios or using code words for things, that's a biggie. You can kind of get around it that way a little bit. But yeah, there's a lot of thought that goes into to that side of things.
Misconceptions to, I mean, can I call them sex workers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So misconceptions of sex workers, I suppose, and, you know, content creators. Like, have you come across just people that are just, this is what they think you are? You know
100%.
What I mean? How does that work out?
I thought it would probably be, I think I was naive in the start.
At the start, yeah.
Thinking that I'm perceived so differently to the person that I actually am. And I've brought that upon myself because of the content that I post and the humor that I have. Sometimes that's nice to just kind of like hang that persona up. But then elements of my actual personality shine through. I thought that I would be able to segue really easily from doing like online sex work into more mainstream content and brand deals, working with agencies and people. Everybody that I've come across so far very much puts you in that box.
Yeah.
Because you do OnlyFans, nobody wants a bar of you. So you really, I've found that it's very limiting, you know, and I think that's a really difficult matrix to escape, especially with the misconception of money. Like my relationship with money is so fucked now because you can make so much in a day and then you can have a day where you make absolutely nothing. And then the thought of going back to a 9-to-5 where you get like a weekly salary. I'm like, well, I could make this in a day.
Yeah.
Or like I do one viral reel and I could make that in like a couple of hours.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yo, there was, because I was a teacher beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hugged a tree for like 4 hours on that. There was an ad that I had to hug a tree for 4 hours. I made a full terms.
That from hugging a tree.
Hugging a tree for
that's
4 hours.
That's fucking wild.
I spent more time of them trying to make up my tattoo off than actually hugging the tree. And I made the same amount I would make in a full terms work. It's like 10 weeks. And I'm like, I don't know if I can go back to this 9-to-5 shit, eh?
No, but I don't think so. I have this weird, I know that I'm constantly evolving and there will come a time where, you know, I'm never going to be ashamed of the things that I've done, but I take lessons in everything. Mm. I, at the moment, would feel like a failure if I was to give up the entire content game and go back to working a 9-to-5.
Okay.
So I guess that's kind of where the foundations of SheFresh were formed, because I'm like, okay, well then that's my business and
passive income.
Yeah. And I can market that how I want, and the people that I want to work with, like I can do deals with girls that are in the same industry, because it's, you know, it's a product that they'd use also.
So before doing anything, if you had to go back to a 9-to-5, and I'm not saying that, where would you go? What would be the go-to?
If I had to go back to a 9-to-5... Do you know what? I think I would probably, I would end up doing something like working in a coffee shop, you know, like where I can just shoot the shit with people and still be myself. I don't think I could ever go back and work for a government agency.
No.
I don't like being confined, you know, like this is in your contract. You're not allowed to do this and this, and you can't swear and you can't post this on socials. I'm like, no, that doesn't sit well with me.
I think like in terms of being on OnlyFans and doing that's your income, you must get a lot of no's from people. You know what I mean? Like if they say, hey man, can I, any opportunities? Oh, nah, yeah. And I mean, if you ask them for a reason, they're not going to tell you the obvious reason.
Yeah.
They'll say, oh, you know, it's just not the right fit or something like that.
Our books are full.
Stuff like that. But like, you know what I mean? Like it must be quite like, I know what the real reason is, but you motherfuckers just don't want to tell me.
Yeah, I have been uninvited from my friends' weddings.
Wow.
Because of the stigma that's associated with it, which to me, it baffles me, because they don't see me for who I really am, but they see me as the persona.
That must hurt.
Oh, 100%.
Sorry if I brought that
up. No, not
that
at all.
That must really hurt.
Yeah, it
would
sucks.
Hurt me.
Yeah, 100%. I didn't really expect it. I think I never expected OnlyFans and stuff to take off to what it's become. And I guess that's kind of everything comes at a cost, you know? Like, you know how they're like, yeah, money doesn't buy happiness, rah, rah, rah. Like, it makes life easier, but there's always a cost to everything.
What's been one of the biggest costs for you?
Meeting new people who didn't know me before, and there's like this expectation that I'm like the super outrageously sexy person, or I'm going to like come on to them, or I'm going to like steal their partners, or, you know, like all of the sex work stigmas that come into play. And then God forbid, you know, like going out and meeting new people, like going on dates and stuff with people, and you're like, oh my God, how am I being perceived right now?
Well, that in itself is harsh.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what would be their reaction. You know what I'm saying?
Imagine somebody bringing me home and be like, what do you do for work? Ah, I work in just retail.
Content creation.
And they're like, oh, what kind of content?
And they get their phone out. They're like,
they're like, oh, you're the slim, thick Mick. Oh, like, oh, yeah. Fuck.
That's old Miss Thick Mick over there. Mrs. Thickmick.
Mrs. Thickmick. And I'm
I feel sorry for Sam. Can I just say this? I feel sorry for Sam. Okay.
Sam
is our producer right now. This is her second podcast ever. She just did a podcast, and I'll say you can blur this out, with Sir Ian Taylor. Okay. And now she's here with
the Thickmick.
Oh, fucking Dame Thickish Mickish. Oh, sorry. Sorry,
oh,
Sam.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Sam. I didn't know that you would be here. But you, hey, we're
happy
right.
to have you here.
We're right. We love you being here, Sam. But no, you know that there must be a lot. Like everything comes with sacrifice, right?
Yep.
What do you think has been the biggest sacrifice that you've had to endure? Like from the time that you made that decision that I'm just going to do OnlyFans, this is what I'm going to do. What's been that sacrifice that you're like, whoo, I didn't know I had to make that sacrifice, but it's happened.
One is you are addicted to your phone 100% because it's how you make money. I've sacrificed a really healthy routine and lifestyle that I did have of getting up. Like, I get up at 4 a.m. I used to get up, roll out of bed, straight into the gym. Now I'm checking Instagrams to make sure nothing's been removed or deleted, check messages. You know, I could put boundaries in place for all of that, but it's so hard when, you know, everything revolves around money. So there's that. And then also the strain that it's had on so many of my relationships. With friends, like when I first started, a really, really close friend, I heard through the grapevine that she didn't want me coming over because she didn't want her kid to be around somebody that was doing that.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah. Personal relationships, like my old partner, like it had a huge strain on that, which I also understand because if you're not involved in that world and you're not living and breathing it, you're like, what? Like it's so wild. Like you're just out here rooting people. And
did you know that that was that wild? Like that world was as wild as you thought. It shouldn't be that bad. Did that happen?
I think it's all dependent on who you end up working with.
Okay,
because there's levels to it. I've met some of the most like intellectual people that are in this industry who are so focused on like the bigger picture and the marketing, and so much of it is strategy. Like everything is done on purpose, and I love working with those girls. And then I've done some collabs which under the influence, like chuck a camera on a tripod, 3 minutes, scrape together something that looks half decent and sell it, and then everybody goes and gets pissed and has a great time.
Yeah
So I prefer working at like the higher end because you do like you go out for lunch afterwards, and it's so wild because some people don't understand that a lot of it is acting, you know, and it's all performative, which is great. And then it's like, oh, and then like what? You just go out for lunch? I'm like, yeah. And we talk business and like investing and Bitcoin.
It's nuts, eh?
Yeah.
Well, it's not nuts. You know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of nuts involved.
Yeah, that's where it's not those nuts.
Not those nuts.
But it's, I mean, you know, yeah, it must be quite, because a lot of people have that misconception that it's just, oh man, everyone's getting fucking doing lines and and lying down pretty much.
Doing lines and lying down.
Doing it at the same time.
Turn on the vibrator.
Shit. And then all of a sudden, yo, like, cash in, but there is work. Is it, what is one thing like working wise that you thought like you didn't think it was going to be as big as possible, like in terms of getting collabs or having a market or doing all these things? What's something that you didn't think would be there?
What's something that I didn't think would be there?
Well, I suppose that you were surprised that was an element of this job.
I think there's like a lot of toxic positivity that comes with it. There's some people in the industry that are incredibly territorial and very fixated on their niche, and anybody that kind of, you know, like threatens that a little bit.
Yeah.
People can be really protective. I'm not one for gatekeeping. So, you know, like I'll be honest with the money that I make and like the percentage that I sit at, but so much, there's so many more smoke and mirrors than what I thought it would be. Mm. Like, of course I knew there was going to be, you know, a bit of a facade, but people out here just flat out lying.
It's just saying, yo,
I'm in the top 0%. I'm like, I'm making $200 a week.
Oh shit. So like, is there a pathway from that to like more, you know, other stuff, other porn?
Yeah, I think.
People must see you and go, oh shit. Yeah. Sign Miss Thick Mick up. Give her own shit right now.
I think there's so many. I'm at kind of like a crossroads at the moment.
Okay.
I guess in terms of where I could take it, because it would be really easy for me to pack up and go to Australia and the likes of the US and go and full on network myself, like do the big collabs with the big name. There's a guy in Australia called Girthmaster. You can imagine.
Why? I don't get it. I don't understand.
Like the size of the microphone.
Hey, Sam, man, stop. It's the second one, man. Sorry, Sam. Poor Sam's over here going, what the fuck? What did I sign in for?
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Man.
Anyway, Sam. Why I mention him.
Sam, blink twice if you're all right. All right.
She's you're like, good? Help me. If you need, what's going on?
If you
on?
Need a break, just hit me with the timeout. Timeout. And then we're. So, yeah.
So the reason why I bring up him is because the beginning of last year, he had a normal 9-to-5 job and he went fully in. Like, he's made a huge name for himself. In the space of 12 months, has changed his entire life. The nicest guy, like, so respectful. He's had Doc Johnson make a mold of his to make toys dick. And stuff. Yeah, of his dick.
Yeah. So we can say dick on here.
We can say
Sam. I mean, we can I've say dick. Enough. We good? She's like, she blinked twice. Ass. She's all good.
Yeah, so okay. there are people that if you throw yourself into it, you can make a lot of money if you're willing to just travel around the world, take whatever comes your way, and. You know, and go on places like Pornhub, like not sign your rights away to Pornhub, but post like teasers and stuff and you generate so many views. Twitter is also a huge one for marketing yourself on Twitter.
Twitter's out the gate.
Twitter's out the gate.
There's no one. Elon is not giving a fuck about censorship.
Elon's having a good old perf.
hey, you check old Tesla Meister 44 and your OnlyFans, and that's him.
So that's Elon. Oh my God. Imagine if Elon Musk was a subscriber.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I don't think, what kind of porn do you think Elon Musk is into?
Aliens. Or like anime.
There's some alien porn. Yeah. Is there?
There is a niche. I tell you what, there is a niche for everything.
Okay.
You can look, people think that you have to look a certain way to be in the industry. Absolutely not. You can market yourself any way. You can fit into whatever niche you want as long as you do it properly.
Yeah.
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 But also, like, you know, you said, hey, anybody can go, not everybody can do that. Okay. Not everybody could be like, yo, I'm going to be the next.
Yep.
Girth master. When in actuality, compared to others, it's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, you have to be so comfortable. Like, you really are, you're sacrificing so much by entering that world.
I've been reading about this notion. This guy, Seth Godin, and he says things about the purple cow.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, like, if you're driving along the street, you're driving down the countryside and you see a cow, you see all these cows, you're going to notice the purple cow. You have to be different somehow, right? Is your humor the way that you're different from others?
Yeah, 100%. I think my humor is my saving grace also, because a lot of other girls market themselves off of their sexuality, which is great for guys, but it can be somewhat short-lived. And, you know, you do get sick of seeing the same generic photos in lingerie. Well, I mean, I'm a female. Guys probably wouldn't. But
I do. I do, babe. Just so you know. I don't
such
care
a good
about,
husband.
I don't care about that shit. Care about you. Sorry. So continue.
The humor is the saving grace.
Yeah.
And I think that's helping like this gray area that I'm in where I'm trying to transition to be more of like a mainstream creator or get into more comedy stuff because that's what I love the most. I'm so grateful and I don't have any regrets doing what I've done to get to this point because then the opportunities just simply wouldn't have fallen into place. Mm. And the stuff that I can joke about and the experiences that I've had make the funniest stories.
Oh, fuck it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It just all forms the foundation for this humor that, you know, like not many people can joke about going and doing that shit on camera and having a funny story about.
What was the reaction like with your family is what I kind of like initially. we don't have to go there.
No. Okay. My mom was just kind of like, huh? Like it was expected.
It kind of made sense.
Like, yeah, of course. Like, oh, okay. Of course Elisa's doing that.
Cause you come from a very like Italian background.
Yeah.
Correct? Yeah. 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 So what was it? So of course from mum.
Yep. My dad is an ex-cop. So he still chooses to just pretend like I don't do it.
Okay.
Yep.
Ignorance is bliss.
Sometimes I'll be talking to my mum about stuff. Cause I tell my mum everything. And he just gets up and says, oh, I'm not listening to this fucking shit. I'm like, okay, all right, sorry, Dad. They were also really concerned that it wouldn't amount to anything and that would be a short-lived couple of months. And then I have a tendency to spiral sometimes. Okay. Like the mental health has to be in check for me to be able to commit and like climb that ladder. Mm. And if it's not, then, you know, imposter syndrome and anxiety, self-sabotage, and then I'm just like, and yeah. So they thought that was going to happen.
And how, and it hasn't happened. What was the difference, do you think?
I think I was like, I was silly with my strategy because I didn't give myself a plan B. I was like, I'm doing this and it's going to work.
Fuck, that's great.
I was like, there's no other option. Like, yeah. I'm not going back to working a 9-to-5.
Fuck, that's awesome.
But you know what I'm risky. Saying? Yeah.
It's scary. But it's scary. Shit, like, it gives you that little kick up your ass. Like, yep. Yeah, if this doesn't come through. So that was really the thing that could keep you in check?
Yeah, I think so. I was like, and the fact that I was so comfortable doing it, like it never really felt like, oh, I hate this. I guess now it's gotten to a point where I am reconsidering things.
Yeah.
Purely because it's been, you know, the novelty wears off after a little while, especially with if you're everything. Doing the same kind of stuff. Yeah.
Not 100%. Just your stuff. Like, I mean, posting stuff online yeah. and doing the TikToks and all that, it does wear off. Yeah.
You have to stay relevant. And, you know, like, you're not, I was never going to be in this forever. And I'm like, okay, what's the next thing? Like, what does that look like? Yeah, so just kind of like figuring all of that out at the moment too.
So the next, one of the next things is the SheFresh thing, yeah. right? What was the brainchild around it? How did it go from, you know, your idea to where it is now? Yeah. And what is it? I should say, what is it first and foremost?
So SheFresh is a all-natural, intimate, nourishing intimate cleanser. And there's so many misconceptions around female intimate health. You don't need a wash. Like, water is absolutely fine. And this is, SheFresh isn't designed for like internal use. It's just something that is naturally deodorizing that girls that are working out a lot, sex work girls, anybody that just wants to remain fresher for longer, that's what SheFresh is going to achieve.
Okay.
And there are so many other products on the market that are full of stuff that really throws off like a woman's pH.
The pH.
The pH. See, yeah.
I've been listening. I've been listening to some podcasts.
On pH levels.
Yeah. But yeah, so and what was the brainchild behind it?
I was sitting in a Airbnb with a friend of mine and
she stank. Is that what you're gonna? Sorry, Sam.
And she stank.
And she was, I was like, girl,
you need a
you
wash.
You need to wash your muck. Nah.
That's not at all. I wish that's what happened because that would make the funniest story. I was munching box and it stunk, so I'm like, we're gonna develop a wash. No, I was sitting there thinking about, okay, I've built this brand off of like the Slim Thick Mick.
Mm.
How what like if there was to be a product that I could attach to that that would just fit the personality, what would that be?
Okay.
And I was like, heaps of people, like sex toy market is kind of oversaturated. Lots of people do lubes. No one's really done a intimates cleanser.
Okay.
And you know, like from experience, I know that there are so many on the market that are trash. Mm. So I'm like, huh. I knew that it's something that I couldn't do myself. So I approached a cosmetic scientist and
wow.
Yeah, paid them to formulate. I told them exactly what I wanted it to be.
How did you find them?
Oh, Google. There are cosmetic scientists in New Zealand. Like the things that you find out when you do a bit of research.
Shit.
Yeah, there's. So we got it mass manufactured in Peerage Laboratories in Christchurch. And so all of these things, because I was like, do I need to get this made offshore? Like, do I need to make it in my kitchen? Like, what do I do? So it took a solid year of doing all of the groundwork for that to then eventually have a tangible product, which people think, you know, like, oh, 3 months. That's what I thought initially. Had the idea, oh, 3 months later, I have a product. Close to a year and a half later. Yeah.
Wow. And then now, and it's gone out to market?
Yeah. It launched last Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the fact that, I can put myself into the marketing and it's something that I can market and put all my creativity into and not get stung for, you know, because it's not breaching guidelines of sex work. It's me able to market. So, yeah. And in like a funny way. Mm. So I'm like, oh, this is my bread and butter. I love this shit. Yeah.
Could you see yourself like moving in that direction more?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. But I think people are also they have this misconception that, like, you know, because I do OnlyFans that I'm stupid.
Yeah. Hey, fucking up your ass. Check this out.
Up your ass. Are you a business owner?
Yeah,
no.
Nah. None of your business. Get the fuck out of my DMs. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Because I could see the connection, the segue mm-hmm. between what you're doing to your product.
Yeah.
There's a natural, it's not like you're trying, it's not like you're selling fucking, I don't know, jelly beans.
Yeah.
Like, well, there could be some
depending where you put the jelly beans.
Yep. Depending where you flick them, it could be.
Oh my God, a jelly bean called Flick the Bean. That is such a clever idea.
Just, you need to be quiet on that. That's my idea.
Sorry, Tim.
Sheesh. Sorry. Hey. Better respect me if I see Flick the Bean comes out and you're attached to it, I'm coming for my cut. All right.
Yeah, of course. Done.
Okay. But there is some culmination there.
Yeah.
Like it's an amazing thought. Like, you know, I'm going to start this. I'm going to branch out. And there's other things. Have you thought of any other branching?
Yeah. I would love to get into stand-up comedy as well. So nerve-wracking, the thought of doing that. But it's always, I'm like, I would just love to be able to do that, just to give it a go. Even if I completely flopped, just to be able to stand up there and entertain a crowd.
Yeah.
The feeling that you get from that.
So I've done it like 7 times.
And okay. How do you find it?
Man, the first time I did it and I finished, I got home at like midnight and I didn't go to sleep till like 6 the next morning.
Oh, say, just buzzing?
You just fucking, I want to go back and do it. And start writing some more and... But then you bomb the next time. You're like, fuck, this sucks. Yeah. But it is quite a, it's buzzy, man. Like it's a natural high.
Yeah.
You're just like, wow, this is fucking out the gate. And, fuck, you're in the right place. I got you.
Same.
Don't worry, I got you, sis.
Yeah.
We'll sort you out. But yeah, it's an interesting thing, right? Is that, you know, you've come from what you were doing to where you are now.
Yeah.
It's so cool to see, man. It's really like, as I've been, I've followed you for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see your progression. And, you know, I sit there and not necessarily for the OnlyFans stuff, but just like your product and coming out with that and all the stuff that you're doing online. You've fucking done it, man.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
That's real. Do you know what's buzzy is like, remember like a year, it was 2.5 years ago actually, when I messaged you and I was like, hey, I'm thinking of starting a podcast and you had, I think you were like a couple seasons deep into yours.
Yeah.
And I was like, can we just have a chat? You were so open to just like having a FaceTime, giving me all of the advice. I was like, this guy's the fucking shit. This is so, so cool. And since then, like, watching all the stuff that you've gotten up to as well. It's so inspiring. I'm like, see, it can be done.
It can be.
Yeah.
And I think, well, hey, this is not my podcast. This is not a podcast about me, all right? This is your one, but you are right. And setting goals, like what are your goals? What was your goal initially going into your OnlyFans and compared to where it is now? Are you closer to that final goal than you thought you would be?
Financially, I honestly thought that I would have more to show for it. I think a lot of it has been reinvested in building SheFresh because, you know, that's come at a huge cost to start something like that. And then also the amount of traveling and business expenses that come with collabing, traveling around, like being from Hawke's Bay as well. You're constantly flying up to Auckland. Now I've relocated here, so hopefully that helps a little bit. But I'm happy with what I'm achieving.
And then on the flip side of that, with SheFresh, what are the goals? What are we looking at for, like, I mean, 2 years ago when you first started.
Yeah.
So 2 years from now on Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, what have you set out for you?
World domination.
Of course.
I think I take a lot of inspiration from Girls Get Off. They have a sex toy brand. And the way that they market their products and do their content is it's out the box and it's so entertaining. And it encapsulates an audience, and they've built a huge following of people that appreciate that. So to be able to do the same with SheFresh with my own authentic flair and just get that to a place where I can either sell it for X amount or continue building it and have somebody else that just takes it over. And I'm still getting a kickback from that. And then I can just, you know, just chill out in Thailand and check Shopify and cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, just travel too, you know?
Yeah.
So you've traveled quite a, like, I've, you know, follow you, went to Thailand. Mm-hmm. You took your whole family too, which must have been pretty cool.
to Rarotonga. Yeah.
That would have been fucking awesome, mate.
I was like, oh yeah, let's just all go on a family hop for my mum's 65th birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that, man. Yeah. You know, people go, oh, you know, it's all fucking, it's all OnlyFans, get it out, do the blah, blah, blah. But there's the kickbacks to it. 100%. Like, how about your family? That must have felt so good.
Oh, 100%. I couldn't do that with corrections salary, you know, or I could, but I'd go into debt.
Yeah.
Or you.
Did Dad go to Rarotonga?
Yeah, he did.
Did you just go, oh, motherfucker, look at that. Hey, you want to hear about it now?
He sat in economy.
He had the smallest bed. And he was like, nah, man. Hey, everybody else wants to hear my stories about work except for you.
Except for you, so you don't get to fly first class.
Yeah, no, you're in the back, brother. You're right next to the toilet. That's where you are. But yeah, it must have been pretty cool to just, here is the fruits of what I've been up to.
Yeah.
And I'm able to, you know, like, click that off. I'm ticking this off and here we go. We're out.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the thing that I find difficult is, you might find the same, trying to switch off, like going on a holiday and switch off from the idea of trying to make content.
I haven't switched off for like 3 or 4 years.
Right. And it can take such a mental toll because your head's always just going, what's next? What's next?
And then you see something, you're like, you know what would be funny if some da 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 da.
Yeah. And my family gets sick of it.
But, you know, you share that shit with them.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, can you just hold the phone? I'm going to do that. They're like, not again. Not again. Like the shit that I do to my mum, bless her soul.
She's amazing.
She's such a saint.
She is. I don't know how she does that.
I don't know either. I wonder if she actually birthed me. I'm like, how did I come from you? I'm so left field.
But would you call yourself the black sheep of the family though?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, you own that black sheep.
Loud and proud black sheep.
Fuck, man, yeah. I'm the same too.
We need to take pride in that because it comes 100. With a whole bunch of skills that the other sheep don't have.
Well, my one's funny. So like they didn't, so I have my family, my mom, she raised me solo and, you know, I don't have any brothers or sisters, but I was raised with like my cousins and stuff. Yeah. And I was fucking Harry Potter under the stairs. Okay. They were all like, these two are funny. These cousins are funny. Oh, then there's Tim over there. And then under when the I started fucking killing that shit, all of a sudden, hey Tim, how's it going, man? What are you up to, man?
Yeah.
You've had that shit happen?
Do you want to know? Do you know this person?
How do you know such and such?
Yeah. Oh my God, you hung out with them. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh man. When I was, here's a funny story. When I was teaching, the bakery run started popping a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. And we started getting some traction and we got some big guests on. And I was doing the road patrol. And, you know, like, oh yeah, signs out. Yep. All goods. And this guy just stopped this car right in the middle of the pedestrian crossing and got out and goes, brother. Can I have a photo with you, my G? And I go, Jay, I'm actually on road patrol night right now. And the kid, he's picking up his kid, and his kid was in the car, just like, fuck.
Oh,
and I was like, just come after school. My room's number 12. Just come to your number 12 and I'll give you a photo. Like those kind of situations. Do you get, it must be weird if it happens to you.
Yeah.
Like I suppose you still got the TikTok stuff.
A lot of people recognize me from TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially not so much day to day. Oh, like a couple times at Pack and Save, you know, people coming up and making like funny comments. And I'm all for it. As long as nobody's invasive. It's at concerts and festivals when people are under the influence.
They get the courage.
Yeah. They're like, oh, it's the Slim Thick Mick. Or like they come up and put their arms around you like, have a photo. So,
fuck.
Yeah. I only experienced that for the first time, like, 6 months ago when I was in Auckland for a concert, it happened so much. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. But then also.
It's kind of cool. And then it fucking wears out, man.
Yeah. And then I was grumpy by the end of this concert. And someone came up and they like didn't ask. They just tried to take a photo. And I was like, no fucking photos.
Oh, shit. And that's the one that gets recorded and put on the internet.
Yeah. They're like, oh, she's actually a bitch.
Yeah. Can you notice the difference between people that come up to you for TikTok stuff? And have you had anybody come up to you for OnlyFans?
Yeah. Girls, surprisingly.
Okay.
A lot of females will come up and be like, oh my God, like I subscribed to like your OnlyFans. I think it's fucking cool. Like I've always wanted to do something like that. A lot of them come up because they're either inspired or intrigued.
Okay.
And they want to know, you know, like the ins and outs and stuff. And I'm like, I'm drunk. It's probably not the best time to be talking
about. Shout outs to the ins and outs, by the way. Great pun there, my friend.
But I'm seeing you.
Good team here.
See what I did?
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. So a lot of females will come up. Males.
I don't imagine males would come up.
When they're drunk.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, but mainly for TikTok.
No, I mean for the OnlyFans shit.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever had a male come up to me and say OnlyFans. Or, oh no, they'll, if they're subscribers and they see me, then they'll message me on OnlyFans and be like, I saw you at so-and-so.
I saw you at Mitre 10.
Like, because I can't go to Bunnings. Yeah, oh.
Damn, what a segue. What a segue.
Smooth transition.
Now, see, that was a tag team there. I bought the Mitre 10 up.
And you, look,
because you're not supposed to go to Gunnings. What the fuck happened at Bunnings? Like, explain to the people, and Sam's over here going, I need to know
like,
what goes
on. What
Bunnings.
On earth?
Poor Sam. What happened at Bunnings?
So Bunnings.
Listen to this, Sam. You're going to fucking buzz out. Continue.
Bunnings missed such a great opportunity for PR, I tell you. So me and my friend Layla, Layla Kelly, she's also a content creator on OnlyFans. We did this TikTok trend where we went into Bunnings and we were like hiding. We videoed ourselves what looked to be taking our underwear off. We had like undies underneath. And
it was your double padded?
Yeah, we were double panned. We were double panted. Double cheeked up.
Double cheeked. Armored. You had the double.
I had the granny panties on underneath. Man. Had the nice lingerie on the top.
It was lingerie day.
Took them off and like hid them behind some pieces of wood in like the wood aisle.
Okay.
Thought nothing of it, and then she posted the TikTok. I think it got like 13 million views, and then the video got taken down because somebody had reported it. And then she had the police rock up to her house with a trespass notice for both her and me because Bunnings took offense to the video.
Is this any Bunnings from now on, or is just that Bunnings?
I think it's any Lower North Island Bunnings for 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
When is the anniversary up?
February next year.
We're going in there. We're throwing panties everywhere.
I have a Bunnings apron for the day that I am allowed to go back.
See, we fucking think the same, mate. Yeah.
Fuck. I'm going to be dishing out snags.
Yeah, man. We're going to be making it rain with the panties. Just bah, bah, bah. We'll get one of those guns, man. You know, they do the t-shirts
shoot
in.
Undies.
Just, hey, catch undies it. For everybody. Give me another 2 years. Stuff yous all.
It's funny, though, because it got picked up as a news story like 2 months ago. And this happened last February. So I don't know, maybe it was a slow news day, but then everyone started posting about
great
it.
Great publicity.
Oh, I know.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I was looking at the Facebook page comments and people commenting, what in the slim thick mick is going on here? I was like, oh my God, they know me.
Oh, wow.
I'm famous for all the wrong reasons. Oh.
Do you feel that? Like, let's talk about that though. All the wrong reasons, but everybody has sex. You know, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't. Why is it so taboo? You know what I mean? Especially in this day and age where kids see it all the time. Oh, I don't want to say all the time, but it's on movies. It's on everywhere compared to what it used to be.
Yeah.
Like it used to be like, hey, close your eyes, kids. You know, don't look at that. You can't watch that. But now it's like, you know, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you feel that movies and mainstream has moved a lot quicker than the porn industry or the acceptance of the porn industry compared to the acceptance of what's in a film?
Yeah, I think it's still so far behind. I think the OnlyFans platform changed the game, especially over COVID. It boomed because people were stuck at home and then everybody starts thinking, okay, like, what do I do with my life? You know,
my job.
Yeah, yeah.
If they get rid of me, what have I got to do?
I don't want to get a vaccine. Now I'm not going to have a job. Like, what do I do? So I think that's where a lot of people started. And at where it is now versus what it was, it's so much harder to make money now. Mm. But there's probably more acceptance for it, but it's still not at a point where you can just bring it up in a conversation with anybody and it be okay.
Yeah. Because when we initially came in and, you know, you introduced yourself to people and you're like, yeah, no, I make content on OnlyFans. You were so like, and I was proud of you because you were just proud of that. You know, you're like, this is what I fucking do. You know, there's no like hiding.
Yeah.
So, oh, you know, I do it all the time that when people go, what do you do? I just go, I just do some content stuff.
Yeah.
When, you know, actually I was like, oh yeah, I'm on this, I'm on that. You know, I could be like that, but I feel a little bit like I don't want to be an eat us about shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas Eden Ask and OnlyFans
come hand in hand.
Yeah, shit. I couldn't fucking pass that one up. Sorry. That one was all right. Sorry, Sam.
Bad. You had to.
But no, you know what I'm saying? Like, you were proud to say, yo, this is what I do. How long did that take for you to be proud of that shit?
Or
are you still struggling with it?
I'm definitely still struggling with it. When it's people in this kind of context where, you know, like it's a talent management and, you know, people that
understand a little bit more.
Yeah, of course. Because, you know, like it's not similar industries, but the way that people make money is, you know, especially in this space, anything kind of goes. So in that capacity, I'm totally happy being open and honest. If I'm meeting somebody's family for the first time, oh my God, the anxiety that comes with that, where I'm like, oh, you know, or if like a kid was to ask, I'm still navigating through that.
I suppose you do have the other side of just saying I'm on TikTok.
Yeah, of course. But then if a kid's like, oh, what's your TikTok? It only takes a few scrolls to be like, wait, she does what?
You need to make a burner account.
I know.
Which is you just doing church stuff.
But just the normal mode.
Just reading the Bible. The Bible. Just, hey, this is Psalm, everybody. This is Psalm 34. And then just go for it. You had a religious background though?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, baptized. Was it Roman Catholic?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot of Italians right there.
Yeah. Yep. Man.
Ooh.
Church every Sunday.
Ooh.
Probably go in now, the place would set on fire.
Yeah, now it's like, I'm burning.
Need an exorcism.
Just where you had the water from your baptism, just burns.
Singeing. Yeah.
There's a lot of, and it's kind of like you have to be like a mentalist sometimes. You have to be able to like read how people are.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you see an older gentleman or female, you're not going to, you might say that, but you don't know what their reaction will be if they even know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah. And a lot of it, like there's also a huge element of safety as well.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah. Like if I'm alone in a Uber on after a night out going home and somebody asks what I was to do, oh my God, like would not even venture into that conversation. Or I'll go to places and people are strange. Like it's not because they're fans. This isn't me saying like, oh, people want to know where I am. Mm. It's because there are weird people out there that you are having lunch somewhere and you tag the location and you're actually there in that moment, they will come just to perv or stalk or, you know.
That's scary.
Yeah, there are weird people out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that think, oh, this is my opportunity. This is my shot.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, hey.
Yep.
Nah, fuck that.
Yep. Or people really blur the lines by thinking that because there's a subscription to an online platform online, that means that for whatever amount, I'm going to come and meet you. Absolutely not.
Fuck. Like,
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm like, no. Wow. Absolutely. No. Like there are girls that do that 100%. More power to you. Like if that's your jam and that's not me though.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about entitlement of these people that are subscribing? Mm. The entitlement of you owe me this or you owe me this content or is that a thing?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
how does that work?
That's probably what's made me want to like potentially pull back a little bit because people think that they're entitled to all of your time. Yeah. Where they pay like, I'm like, you're paying the equivalent of like $15 a month. After the exchange rate, what on earth thinks that I'm going to respond to you every single second of the day, like drop everything. I make it really clear that if somebody was to message me, like I'll get around to replying when I get around to replying. And then people get angry at that or they expect like, they come into it expecting something. And if it's not there, like, oh, you're nothing but a, you know, and they get angry. And I'm just like, oh my God, what is your problem?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So many entitled people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose in that corner of society where, you know, like they're paying for a subscription to something. And, you know, like you see it when people are in Netflix and fucking shit, ah, fuck, no good shit on here.
Yep.
But it's a one-to-one with you and it's an open line for them to just be fucking assholes sometimes. But not all of them, but some people.
Some of them are lovely. Like, you know, I've had some really good conversations. People also think that it's just for like sex stuff. I've had the best conversations about mental health with some of the people that are subscribed. Because a lot of the time, they just want somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think that was also another misconception, is that a lot of them just want, you know, and a lot of them do want like the sexy stuff, but some of them just genuinely want somebody to talk to because they're lonely and yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'll chat to you about how you went, took your dog for a walk and sat at the beach. I'm like, yeah, of course.
And I feel with you, it's not like, it wouldn't be like, oh, I talk to that, you're paying the fucking money. It's more like, no, I appreciate your contribution.
Yeah.
And I'm just being real.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people wouldn't. They'd just be like, oh yeah, just show us this, show us that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I send voice notes back because you can voice note on OnlyFans. So
I didn't know.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He doesn't have one.
No, anyway, continue.
So I, yeah, like the, if I'm having a proper conversation, then I'll voice note back. And for me, it's easier than typing because I hate sitting there on my phone.
You can do it while you're driving. You do it while you're doing
I'm
something.
A yarner. So but they appreciate that so much because a lot of girls have assistants or bots that will mass reply for them. And then it takes away the authenticity of it.
Mm.
Yeah. But I understand, you know, some of these girls have hundreds of thousands of people subscribing. So, you know, you physically can't respond to all of them. I'm not at that level. So,
all right. We've got through all this and there's probably people listening and the people that are listening are like, oh, geez, Tim and someone that's and his friend that's an OnlyFans, there's not a lot out of gay shit that he said. And I've been on my best behavior.
You know what? You've been on your best behavior.
Did you feel that? Did you think I was? I think it's partly because Sam's here. Sam, close your ears for the next 15 minutes, all right? Because I'm going to get. But partly I'm like, fuck, I'm missing my. What's the most. Okay, let's get it. What's the most fucking out the gate thing that somebody's requested of yours?
Oh my God.
Give us like a top. Give us a three.
Skitty undies.
Skitty undies.
Skitty undies.
They're like, hey, Gil, show us your skitty undies.
Bide bought the skitty undies.
They bought your skitty undies?
Yeah, yeah. Wanted me to exercise in them, wear them around for the day. I was like, I'm not sharting in these undies. Like, absolutely not. That is, I just couldn't. I couldn't do it. So,
I swear to remind my missus, I don't have an OnlyFans account. That was not me.
I sent them to your address, Tim.
You live in Clinton, don't you, Tim? Oh, how do you know that? No. So, skitty undies is number one. So, someone said, oi, Gil, can I have your skitty undies?
Yeah.
And
I named a price because
What was the price?
Fuck off
you
charge.
Fucking tell us.
$500. I was like, you can.
$500 for some skinny undies?
For some skinny undies.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a
and
bargain.
And I faked the skids. I was like, there's no way I'm actually, you know, there are ways around it. Because a lot of
you
guys.
You get some chocolate in there.
You just mix it. Yep.
Yeah.
Do what you got to do.
Skinny undies.
Toes.
Toes are a thing.
There's a huge niche for foot content.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Which is, because I don't have the nicest feet.
Hey, relax.
I've got some weird toes.
Now we're going to get everybody like zooming in on your toes.
Like, okay, I've got a subscribe.
I've got a friend that is notorious for his zoom on Instagram on toes.
Really?
Quick, man.
I can't understand it. I know that there are so many people that, you know, love the feet, but.
Yeah. I mean, I can't comment. My feet are fucked up.
Same. I got a message from somebody. I posted a photo on Instagram which had my feet in it, and someone said, "Why are your feet so veiny?" And I was
"You got veiny feet."
I got veiny feet.
Yeah, she got their veiny feet.
Got some good circulation.
Hey, don't hate on the circulation. I wear those. Remember when you go on flights and you wear those fucking calf
compression?
I wear those
compression socks on.
Hey, don't fucking. That's good health for me. I might be diabetic one day. I might have to cut that shit off.
Yeah, I got wide Italian feet. I'm like, I don't fit heels. Like, I got toes hanging out
stomping,
the side.
Stomping in their wine.
Stomping on heels.
Stomping the grapes.
Oh my God, yes. For stomping grapes,
see,
of course.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. Anything else? Anything else that's been out the gate? This been a request?
Yeah. Like, lots of weird role plays. Like, somebody asked me to dress up as the Matrix.
The Matrix.
And I put my best leather coat on.
Oh,
I was
shit.
Like, the glasses. I was like, if somebody asks me to like put effort into something and it's paying the right amount, I'm like, I will, guns blazing.
Okay,
like, I will nail this performance.
This segues into the next one. The role plays.
Yeah.
Give me the three. Give me the three top that, like, from your standpoint, not a fucking request.
Yeah.
What are you like, yo, I make a good this, this, and that.
Yep. Good, like, disciplining boss.
Oh, okay.
Like, you've been called into the office.
All right, give us a demonstration.
It's past trauma from when corrections tried to fire me. So, Daniel.
That's not scary.
You've been brought in here for a very bad reason.
Okay. And then you're like, get on your knees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I'm going to have to punish you with some disciplinary action. And then, like, the ruler comes out.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay, and then it gets, okay.
And then it gets.
And then it gets worse and worse. Yeah. I get it now. What's the second one? What?
I don't like doing the schoolgirl stuff because I'm like, yeah,
that's a little bit.
Nah, I'm not a fan of that.
Does that get requested quite a lot?
Not as much as you'd think.
Okay.
Or maybe because I'm just like, I don't want to do that.
You probably vocalized it.
Yeah. The Matrix one. That's
you're
great.
Up there. Yep. Were you so proud of the Matrix one? You're just fuck.
I was Trinity. Like watching highlights and I was like, okay. Dun, 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 like dun, dun,
were you stopping the fucking bullets and shit? You're like, I know Kung Fu. And then all of a sudden, shit, I've watched that movie too many times.
Mickey
Mouse?
I haven't had that one yet.
Thick Mickey Mouse.
The thick Mickey Mouse.
There we go.
Like content in gym clothes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like just working out.
All
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Damn. Which is, I didn't think that people would be interested in that, but yeah.
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 Because it must be like interesting. Like you must, the DMs on that shit must be, because I mean DMs on, you know, your socials,
mm-hmm.
it's probably a mixture of things.
Yeah.
But you know, when people sign into the OnlyFans, they're like, this is what I want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because they come with an intention. Like a lot of people will just come maybe to have like a nosy. At the very beginning, it was every man and his dog wanted to just like have a little peek.
Mm.
But then you get regulars or people who are just really invested in that world and like ethical porn. Because
what ethical porn?
Yeah, like there.
What's that?
So it's, you can be really easily exploited in the sex industry.
Sorry.
In terms of like the big pornography company. Yeah, like
I thought you mean like someone's like, oh yeah, I need you to be looking ethical for me.
I need you to
just.
You can't swear.
Ethic it up for me, please.
Get the Bible out.
And I want that's the Japanese shit where they blur everything. Not that I know.
Yeah.
Because I don't subscribe to any.
Are you sure about that?
Okay. Just so you know. But yeah, I don't. Okay, so I get it now. The ethical porns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what so many men will be like, yeah, I'm supporting because it's ethical. But really, they're just like, you know.
Fuck that excuse.
You can see through some of these men so easily.
I'm just supporting local endeavors at the moment.
I support local. Yeah, I'm shopping support local.
She's from Wellington and Hawke's Bay. I'm going to support her. Up the Hurricanes.
I did an Up the Waz video.
Okay, explain it.
So a subscriber sent me a Warriors jersey when the Warriors were like, yeah, in the peak of the season.
Okay.
And I was like, I need to make a video with this. Okay. So I did it Up the Waz, and it was one of the best selling videos because it was like I had a sports top, it was a wow. specific niche. I was like,
it could be a niche there.
I need to do more. Like if any sports teams want to send me jerseys.
Man, shout outs to the Breakers. I know some people, man.
They'd be like, absolutely not. We do not want this chick doing videos with our fucking jerseys.
Fuck. Jesus.
Yeah, so that was another interesting one. Up the Waz.
Up the Waz.
Yeah.
Mm. So where to next for you?
It's weird. This podcast has come at like a very transitional time because I'm weighing up all of the different options and so much time and energy goes into the OnlyFans side of things. So for the time being, I'm still doing that, but probably taking a bit of a step back to focus on the stuff that aligns more with me at this point in time, which is building SheFresh, doing more fun content, making the right connections in Auckland to be able to do that, and just trying to enjoy life a little bit more. Mm. You know, like you become really... I don't want to say self-obsessed, but just really caught up in like that content world.
Yeah.
And just sometimes I need to slap myself and be like, so much of it just isn't real. Like just go and live in the moment. Go for a walk without needing to be on a phone every fucking second of the day, you know? Just trying to like level out.
I think I'm in there. I'm starting to get to that place.
Yeah.
But it is scary when your bread and butter is on that thing.
Oh, 100%.
It's almost like you're stuck to this invisible contract mm-hmm. of like, no, I need to be there because this is, people will see me on this and,
yep.
you know, I'm building this brand. So later on, and it's,
My missus once said to me, like, and it really stuck to me when she said that, she's like, when is enough enough?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, fuck, I can't answer that question.
Yeah.
I want to, but I don't know. And maybe it is now. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's next week. Maybe it's in 5 years. I don't know. And that's that hurt. That really hurt me that I couldn't answer that question.
I don't know if there's ever a right time for that kind of stuff. You know, like so many things, especially in the last 6 months, have happened where I'm like, oh my God, my life is being turned upside down right now. Like personally, what the fuck am I going to do? And then it's like, there's, I don't know, this weird kind of shining light. It's like that shit obviously has to happen for a reason, to just like the universe is just kind of shaking you back into realignment. Mm. And I feel like it's still kind of shaking me a little bit. It's like, okay, maybe you're just going to go this way a little bit. And yeah.
I can't wait to interview you in like another year.
Oh, two. You reckon?
Oh, fucking A. This is an ongoing thing.
Oh, we get to do another one? Yes.
This is what we do here. Because I'm really interested to see not just how SheFresh goes, but just how you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, I always check in on you, make sure everything's all good.
Yeah.
And I know you are, but, you know, like, for you to move to Auckland, and this is where, like, everything kind of moves here.
Yeah.
And this is where the machine is. I really hope that, like, you know, opportunities come to you that you deserve. Because you're a hard fucking worker, man.
Likewise to you. Thank you.
This is not my podcast.
Yeah,
it's
for you. But I can't take compliments.
This is not table tennis.
So you call me a hard worker. I'm like, stop it.
Do you find it hard to take compliments?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah, yeah.
Straight away.
I would rather take insults. Like, fucking yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm ethical bitch. I'm an ethical bitch, excuse me.
I'm an ethical porn star.
Shit, ethical. I'm fucking Trinity from the Matrix, bitch. Fucking out here shooting guns. Pow, pow. And then, yeah. But yeah, I am. I'm really like, I've always been invested in your journey because you're very strong-minded. This is what I'm going to do. And then when you said to me, when you just said then, like, I had no fucking plan B, I was like, fucking yes.
Yeah, you have to. Because in my mind, if there's a plan B, I get lazy.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, well, I can always fall back on that. Don't give yourself a fallback option. That's not advice. That's just what works for me. I'm like, you either go balls to the wall, literally.
Could be. Depends on what you're into.
Yeah, depending on what it is.
Depends on what you, you know, ask, request.
Yeah. It's all or nothing with me. Yeah, I'm just like, you throw yourself into it and you either sink or swim. And
it's so cool that you're swimming right now.
I got flotation devices.
Oh, fuck, man. I was being fucking serious there.
No, thank you. So yeah, I can't take compliments.
It's okay. Yeah, yeah, so you make it a big joke.
Yeah.
But no, for real, like I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm glad that I could, you know, we got you on and then people can follow you and get to it. Where can they follow you again?
Instagram is Mona Lisa. With a little X on the end, isn't that? That's great, eh?
Yep, that's the greatest.
And Instagram, TikTok is the Slim Thick Mick.
The one and only.
Slim Thick
Mick. And but we're going to get you back on Wednesday anyway for Goat Busters. But anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Oh. I had so much fun.
Frank Podcast.
Hello, we're Ellie, Chris and Guy from the Extremely Casual Gamers Podcast. We're a casual gaming podcast for the everyday gamer.
We chat everything gaming from PlayStation to Xbox to Nintendo to PC, but not like full-on stuff, like super chill stuff, casual stuff, like, oh, if you had to date a video game character, who would you date?
Even if you're just gaming on your mobile, we want to hang out with you. And we've got awesome giveaways for you to win.
Join us every Thursday for a brand new episode. Just search Extremely Casual Gamers wherever you get your podcasts.